Merry Christmas once again. It's such a joyful day. It's such a joyful day and a day that we praise God for. And I know that some of you have planned a lot of activities for this afternoon. And as a matter of fact, I know for some of you, I'm the only thing standing between you and your delicious Christmas lunch. But you know, over the next 25 or so minutes, what I want to do, what I aim to do, is that I want to give you a very solid reason to go off and enjoy your lunch, your Christmas lunch, with joy and with meaning, knowing that a Savior has been born. And that is what I want to do this morning. And so even to help me do that, I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 2, we'll be reading from verse 8 to 20. Luke chapter 2. If you're using one of the Bibles in front of you, in the seat pocket in front of you, it will be found on page 732. 732. Luke chapter 2, we read from verse 8 to 20. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel of the Lord said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this would be a sign for you. You would find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherd told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. Amen. This is the word of the Lord. Now, what we would do is look at this passage under three headings. This passage will be under three headings. We will look at the shepherds, who are like God's spear, right? That they function as God's spear. So the shepherds, the news, and then the response. The shepherds, the news, and then you have the response. If you are taking notes, that will be the outline of the short message this morning. You know, from verses 1 to 7 of this chapter, Luke tells us about the circumstances around which Jesus Christ was born. You know, for tax purposes, Caesar Augustus, the emperor at the time, Roman emperor at the time, he had commanded that everyone should go to their own hometown to be registered in a census. This was for tax purposes. And so Joseph, who was of the household and of the lineage of David, had to go to Bethlehem because that's where he was from. He went together with his pregnant wife. And it was while they were there that Mary had her baby. And it's quite interesting how Luke refers to this baby that was born. You look at verse 7, which is just above what the text that we read. So verse 7 of Luke chapter 2, this is what Luke says. It says that, "And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger." You know, the baby that had just been born was Mary's firstborn son with a small s. But you know what else was there? This baby was also the Son of God with a capital S. You know, Mary wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger. But God was preparing a PR campaign. He was about to blast the news in style, and he had prepared an angelic band ready to do that. Now, for centuries, God had promised that a day would come when he would send his son into the world. And that day finally came in Bethlehem. And God was about to go public. He was about to blast the news in the whole of the universe. And that brings us to the first point that I mentioned, the shepherds, or even God's PR team. If you look at verse 8 and 9 of the passage, this is what Luke says. It says that, and in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them. Now, at this point, I'm just thinking, God definitely needs to hire a qualified PR manager. Now, you are about to announce the biggest news that has been in the works since Genesis 15. That's where we see the first time that God said that he would send his son into the world. This is the biggest news since Genesis 15. You have your angelic band ready, the choir is ready. And what he does is that he goes to the countryside of Bethlehem to go and announce the news to lowly shepherds. All of us here who live in Dubai, we live in the city of Brandon. Now, we know that that is not how you announce your news. If you have a new product or you have a news that is going to go public, you don't go to an obscure place. We know how it is done in Dubai. It's on Burj Khalifa. It's on the Sheikh Zayed Road. You know, recently I heard that Nestle, the food company, launched a new Nespresso line, the coffee Nespresso line. Apparently it had been in the works for 20 years. And you know who they chose to represent the brand? You are right. It's David Beckham. David Beckham. He's the ex-English footballer, the husband of Victoria Beckham. That is how it is done. You have a news, you want to blast it, you go to Instagram. So if you look at the Nespresso campaign, it's on Instagram, it's on Facebook, it's on Twitter. Now they call it X. It's everywhere, and it's on the billboards. That is how it is done. But in our test, that is not how God did it. That's not what God did. What God did is like Tim Cook saying that for the next iPhone launch, he will be doing it at Al Kuzli Bar Camp. There will be no celebrities, and there will be no press there. That's what God did. The wisest being in the universe is about to announce the greatest news in the universe. And what he did was that he announced the news to lowly shepherds in the countryside of Bethlehem. No, this was not a PR disaster. Or this is not because God doesn't know how to get his message across to the maximum number of people. No. What we see here is that the mode of delivery is actually, it's a picture of the content of the message. The mode of delivery is actually a picture of the content of the message. You know, in choosing to use the means that he used, God was communicating what the birth of Jesus Christ signifies. In Isaiah chapter 9, verse 2, we read, it says that the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in the land of deep darkness, on them light has shone. God could have chosen to announce the news of the birth of his son in the emperor's palace. Then the emperor would have gone on to send the news across the whole empire. This was not a PR disaster. No. What God did, the fact that he chose the insignificant shepherd is a symbol of the situation of all of us. All of us here, we too, we are a people who are walking in darkness and dwelling in darkness. And walking and dwelling in darkness. It is on us that the light of the Lord has shone. The way God announced the news is a picture of what the news signified. These were lonely people, people walking and sitting in darkness at night. And it is on them that the light of God has shone. In verse 9 of our passage, we read, it says that, "And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." I'm yet to meet someone who would say that they don't want to see the glory of God. Everyone you speak to, we all want to see the glory of God. It's such a beautiful thought. And there are those who would even go to the extent of saying that if God really wants me to believe in him, probably he should just show himself. When he shows himself, then I will know that he exists, and then I will believe in him. But brothers and sisters, friends, what we see in verse 9, and throughout the scriptures, the Bible tells us that the glory of God is such a terrifying sight. No, you cannot see the glory of God and live. Say that, "And the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear." How is it that the glory of God is such a beautiful thought, yet whenever it appears, it is so terrifying? Why is that? Why is it such a terrifying sight? You know, it is because God is holy. And whenever he appears, he appears to us in our sinful state. So whenever God appears in his holiness to sinful people like us, the sight is always terrifying. It's like you go to an opera show or you go to a theater. The whole place is dark. And then all of a sudden, you see the spotlight. Now, it comes on the person on the stage. And that is what the glory of God does to us. The glory of God throws a spotlight on our sin and reveals the stark contrast between us and him. The angels were not a problem. It was when the glory of the Lord shone that the shepherds were terrified. You and us, we are not friends with God. And so whenever he shows up, it is a terrifying sight. And so this morning, what would be your reaction if the glory of God were to shine on you right now? What would be your reaction? Someone might say, "I haven't done anything wrong. I mean, maybe there's a God, there's no God. I haven't done anything wrong against him. So why should I be terrified?" I'm sure the shepherds probably could have said the same thing. That night, they were just going about their business, taking care of their sheep at night. And yet, the glory of the Lord shone around them. Like them, all of us in this room, we are by nature rebels who have declared war against God. We've declared war. And on that fateful night, not only did the gracious God that we had offended, not only had he planned, but he also came down. He sent an angel to come to this terrified shepherd. And that angel brought news. The God that we had sinned against, the God that we had rebelled against, that same God, he sent an angel, and that angel brought news. And the question is, what was the news? And that brings us to the second point of this message, the news. So the first is the shepherds or God's PR team. The second is the news. Look at verse 10. "And the angel said to them, 'Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people.'" The shepherds were so terrified that the angel had to quickly calm them down. He's like, "No, don't be afraid. I come bearing news. Just be okay." That's what the angels told them. He said that, don't be afraid. I come bearing news. And this was not just any kind of news. According to the angel, if you look at verse 10, There are three qualities of this news that he brought. Three qualities of this news. So the first quality, he says that it is good news. Good news. And then secondly, you see, it is a news that is supposed to bring great joy. And then finally, it is a news for all the people. A news that is good, a news that is supposed to bring great joy, and a news that is for all the people. Now, at this point in time, I'm sure the shepherds would have been calmed down, and what they would say is that, okay, now tell us more. What is this news that you're talking about? But it's interesting that, you know, the angel did not tell them the news first. The angel, first of all, told them the qualities of the news before he told them the news. No, we live in a world that says that I determine the news that is good for me. It depends on how, if you tell me the news, I listen to it, and then I will decide whether it's a good news or it's not. But that's not what we see here. The angels told them that the news that they are bringing is first of all good, it's also great joy, and then it will be for all the people. I bet some of you probably this morning opened up your gift and you went like, yeah, thank you very much, but is that it? Because you were expecting something more. I mean, you open this gift and it's like, oh, this is what I get. That's how sometimes we behave, that, okay, you tell me the news and I will determine what it is or whether it's good. But that's not what we see here. You know, the angel, before even he told them the news, he said it's good. No, God, the wisest being in the universe, he looked at our situation and he said that this is what we need. We need a savior. And before even the news came, he said that it is a good news. It is a news that is supposed to bring you great joy, and it's a news that is supposed to be for all the people. Let's look at verse 11, what verse 11 says. So now, as we said, they have now been told this is a good news. It's a news of great joy, but they're asking, so what is it? What is it? Tell us, because I want to know. And so in verse 11, the angel now tells them what the news is. In verse 11, it says that, for unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. That is the news. It's a good news, and it's a news of great joy, and it's a news for all the people. Why is the birth of Mary's firstborn son a good news of great joy? It's because he's not just any son. He is a Savior who is Christ the Lord. The wisest being in the universe. He looked at us, people that he has created in his own image, and he says that, this is your situation, and I created you. I know what you need, and I am going to give you a Savior. And that's what he did on that fateful night. Perhaps you're here, and you are thinking, but I haven't done anything against anybody. I've been faithful. I've done what is required of me. I haven't done anything wrong. Why do I need a Savior? Why do I need a Savior? No, the Bible teaches us that all have sinned and have fallen short of the glory of God. It is not because of what you have done. It is because of who our parents are. All of us have fallen short of the glory of God. It's not because of what you have done. It's because of who our parents are. The sin of Adam and Eve contaminated all of us. It's like the child who is born with HIV/AIDS, right? The mother, the child has not done anything, but the mother transferred the virus to the child. And that is how it is. Because of our parent, we were born by Adam and Eve. Adam and Eve were created by God to reflect his beauty, to reflect his purity, to reflect his holiness. But that was not what they did. In Genesis chapter 3, we read that they rebelled against God. God created them to reflect him, but they said that, no, we don't want to reflect you. We want to reflect ourselves. And all of us, being born by through Adam and Eve, have been contaminated by their sin. We've all gone astray. We've each taken our own way because we don't want God to be our God. You know, the anger we display, the greed in our hearts, the self-centeredness of our actions, the bitterness, the unforgiving spirit. Do you think that is how God looks like? Is that how God looks like? When you look at your life, the anger, the self-centeredness, the greed, is that how God looks like? God created us to reflect Him, His holiness, His purity. That's what He wanted us to be, but all of us here have not done that. And you know, regardless of the country you come from, the punishment for treason is death. In every country, when you raise arms against your government, it's treason. And that's what we did. We rebelled against God, the God who created us in His image. And we all stand condemned, guilty as charged, under His righteous punishment. And so on that fateful day, when the shepherd came and when the angel came and said that, "I bring you good news of a birth of a Savior," this Savior came to save us from this impending judgment that all of us rightly deserved. It is a good news of great joy. You know, imagine this afternoon, you go home and you turn on your TV and then there is a breaking news. The war between Ukraine and Russia has ended. Or the war between Israel and Palestine has ended. What would go through your mind? We would hail that as good news, because a lot of us have been praying for the cessation of war for many months. It would be a good news. But you know, as heinous and as terrible as those wars are, the greatest and the most deadliest of war is the one that has existed between man and his creator since the day of Adam and Eve. God, the righteous judge, is angry because we have rebelled against Him. And yet, on this fateful night, in the countryside of Bethlehem, this gracious God, the merciful, He came down to us, sent a son. And so that's what we see in verses 13 and 14 of our text. And it says that, "And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts, praising God and saying, 'Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom He is pleased.'" Even the angels were excited about the news, because finally, God is about to reconcile man to Himself. And the angels were excited. How much more us? The angels don't need saving. We do. And even they were excited about our news. The salvation of man could never have been accomplished in any other way. Not by cleaning ourselves up, not by keeping a set of rules, no. No, God looked at us. Our situation was so dire. Our sin was so great. And He looked at us and says that, "I need to send a son. I need to come myself." God, the Holy God, God the Son, took on flesh and dwelt among us. And so in the passage that Pastor Wagner read for us, Paul tells us, though He was in the form of God, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied Himself by taking on the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, He humbled Himself and becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on the cross. This is what Christmas is. This is God becoming man. Thou who is, he is beyond all praising, all for love's sake, became man. He stooped so low that He may raise us heavenward. This is the good news of great joy. Perhaps you're here this morning and you are thinking, this is what Christians believe. I mean, probably someone invited you, or you come to church maybe every Christmas and Easter. And so you're here this morning and you're thinking, oh yeah, this is the Christian belief. But you know what the angels, the shepherds, could have said the same thing. They could have described themselves that, oh, we are not Christians. I mean, this is a news for probably Christians. But that is not what we see here. The angels, you know what the angel says? It says that this is a good news of great joy. And who is it for? It's for all the people. So this is not a news for Christians. It's a news for all the people. Which means that all of us here, whether you are a follower of Christ or not, whether today is the first day that you've entered a church, it's a news for you too. Now the question is that, what would be your response? Because if it's a news for all people, then we have to do something with it, right? You and I both would have to do something with it. So the question is that, if this is a news for all people, what is your response? And that brings us to the final point, the response. So first we saw the shepherds, we saw the news, and now we see the response. You know, there was a threefold response by the shepherds to the news. Threefold response. First, Luke tells us, they went with haste to see what has happened. They went with haste to see what has happened. So look at verses 15 and 16. 15 and 16. It says that when the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. So that's the first response. And then second response is that they spread the news that they had received. Again, verse 17 and 19. Verse 17 and 19, it says that, and when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And then finally, the final response was that they glorified and praised God. They glorified and praised God. Look at verse 20. Verse 20 says that, and the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had seen, all they have heard and seen as it had been told them. This morning, brothers and sisters, this morning, we are receiving the same news that the shepherds received 2,000 years ago. We are receiving the same message. The only difference is that in their case, the message or the news was delivered by angels. In our case this morning, the message has been delivered by the Holy Spirit through the written word of God. The message was delivered to the angels, to the shepherds by angels. And we are hearing it from the word of God. And the Bible tells us that this word is inspired by the Holy Spirit. No, so now the question is that if the shepherds responded the way they did to a message that was delivered by angel, how much stronger should be our response to a message that is delivered by the Holy Spirit himself through the word of God? If angels, the word of angels, or the message through angels, elicited that kind of response, what should be our response this morning? And if you are here this morning and not a follower of Christ, I just want you to consider the response of these shepherds. You know, as I said, they were not Christians either. On that day, they wouldn't have described themselves as Christians. And so, this is not a message for Christians. It's a message for all the people. So I want you to consider, if this was their response, what should your response to be? This news is a good news. It's a news of great joy. And that is for you, my friend, as well. And if you're here and you're a believer, you're already a Christian, the question is that, Have you been praising God? Have you been rejoicing? Have you been glorifying God since the day that you heard this news? Even this morning, in a season like this, have you been excited about this news? And then also, have you been sharing this news? Or you've kept it a secret to yourself alone? No, the shepherds heard the news and off they went. Is that what you are doing, my Christian friend? No, I know many of you would go off after this service to have great lunches and great dinners. But what I want you to remember is that on that fateful day, on that fateful night 2,000 years ago, what brought joy, what brought that excitement was not because the shepherd had plenty to eat and plenty to drink. No, it was about a news. A news that a Savior has been born, and He is Christ, our Lord. My prayer for us is that even as we go about celebrating today, that we would not miss the reason for the season. Merry Christmas. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning that 2,000 years ago, Father, you came, became man. You sent your Son into our world. You looked at our situation and said that we needed a Savior, and you sent one. We thank you even today that we get the opportunity to celebrate and even to think about Him. Lord, we pray that you would fill our hearts with joy, and that like the shepherds, oh Lord, we would go out and be your PR team, and that we would tell all the people that this is a good news of great joy, and it's for all the people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.